Today is October 16th, 2014, and this is episode 276 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief at TMO.
And I'm Bob Levitis, columnist for TMO, raconteur, and all-around troublemaker. To get the full story on anything we cover in the podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Bob, what did you do with Brian?
Brian's not here.
And what did I do with Jeff?
Jeff, where is Jeff? I'm playing the part of Jeff. I will be playing the part of Jeff for this episode.
Well, technically, you're playing the part of Brian, and I'm playing the part of Jeff.
Well, kind of, but yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so Jeff and I actually recorded a full show yesterday, and due to a technical issue with my audio interface, that show was ruined. And Jeff is moving this week, and we had a little media event today with Apple, and Bob Levitis is an awesome individual, and he agreed to step in.
He graciously agreed to step in.
Graciously.
Yes, I like that.
Graciously, because he's such a good guy. So we used the excuse of messing up the show to make the show all about Apple's media event. Seemed appropriate.
Heck yes.
Heck yes.
It's what's on people's minds.
So, now...
I mean, other than the breakup of the Macworld All-Star Band.
Other than that. Well, do you want to take a moment to talk about...
Have you talked about that on this podcast yet? I can't keep track of which podcasts I've talked about it on.
We did yesterday, but yeah. Yesterday's show is scrapped.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So then let's just have a little word. You need to go to Mac Observer and read my reflections on 20-plus years of Macworld Expo, because there won't be any more Macworld Expos. Or, wait, it's on hiatus. There could be. They left the door open. Yeah, Brian, I wouldn't hold my breath.
I'm not holding my breath. Actually, my take on the hiatus thing is this. It would have been easier for IDG to use the word canceled, shutting it down. They chose the word hiatus because there is a chance. I just don't expect much to come of it, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, there's a chance. I'm eternally hopeful. You know, if a Saudi sheik comes in and offers to finance the whole thing and guarantee them a profit, maybe. But other than that, I don't see it happening. You know, the problem is the internet killed things like this. You know, the vendors can't justify it. And if you just, and you know, the vendors subsidize all the other stuff, all the conferences and stuff. You don't think that you could put on a conference like that and charge $10 and make a profit. No, the vendors buy space, and that subsidizes all the fun stuff you get to do at Macworld, like conferences and sessions on the floor and all that good stuff. And they, I think rightly, make the call that it's hard to justify spending all that money to take a team to San Francisco for a week.
I think, Bob, though, that if Apple was still there...
The press
that came to see Apple, the big companies like Adobe and HP was actually has stayed part of the show because they actually have been very strong supporters of the Mac as much as their overall non-Mac business drives me nuts. But they used to have a much bigger booth. Adobe had these big booths. There were these large companies that came because of the press that came to see Apple.
That's right.
So when Apple pulled out, the mainstream press goes away.
And the big writing was on the wall.
And then the next tier of companies that are there to get the press, you know, to ride the coattails of the bigger companies, there's not as much impetus for them to be there either. And it's kind of a cascading effect. So I think even with the internet, if Apple still supported the show.
Yeah, but if Apple still supported the show, and if Apple still... announce products twice a year at Macworld, then yeah, because that made it a must go event. And without Apple, it's been, you know, I mean, let's call a spade, and no offense to our friend Paul Kent, but it's been on a slow decline, and it was pretty plain to see just from the size of the show floor that there was less and less enthusiasm for it among vendors.
Yeah.
I think the attendees loved the last few shows because you could actually get some FaceTime with people.
But so did the vendors. When Apple pulled out of the show, the reality of that show was that it became a lot friendlier, a lot more fun, and a lot more relaxed. And a lot of the vendors that I talked to said that they enjoyed going because it was the kind of place where they could develop product evangelists, and they could actually get FaceTime with both the press and their potential customers, and they can't really do that anywhere else. And I think personally there was still a lot of value there, but I think that it was hard for a lot of companies to wrap their heads around that.
Here's the thing. I still think there's a place for face-to-face schmoozing, and I think the Mac community or the Apple community is probably a big enough community to support something like that. Look at something like South by Southwest, which, you know, you could get the same information on the internet, but tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people flock to Austin for 2 weeks every spring. It's like a rite of spring to get FaceTime with people in, well, the music industry, the film industry, and lately, even the technology industry. They've got kind of a simultaneous technology show along with movies and music. And I think maybe something like that for people like us could be a thing. But that is a pretty pricey event. You know, a pass for any one of the three South by Southwest tracks is, you know, $600-$700. And if you want to see it all, it's like $1,300. So, you know, you pay for it, but you get quality people. You get to see a lot of really smart people talking about stuff they know. And it's a very concentrated thing. You know, you get to absorb a lot in a few days. But it takes a while to build something like that. And Macworld wasn't it. Their whole economic model wasn't built like that.
Right.
And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that we could train people that there's value in that.
No, but there is, you know, as Dave has gone on about, I think you and Dave talked about this on the Daily Observations, this does open up a market opportunity for someone.
I think so. I think, like a South by Southwest for techies, where you'd want to go because cool people are there and they're talking and they're hanging out in bars with you at night. You know, yes. And I think that, you know, the people that went to Macworld, and that's not a small number, what, 20,000 probably last time? 15,000, 20,000. That's pretty significant. I mean, that's a lot of people who, you know, rearranged their lives to be in San Francisco that week.
It's true. And for a lot of companies, an event that size would be a raging success. There's a lot of economic issues that are at play here for IDG. But that said,
but that's not what we came to talk about.
We came to talk.
So we've been off topic the whole time. We apologize. Now we will make a sharp left turn into what happened today. What happened today, Bri?
Our listeners are used to.
I know. I am a listener, so I'm used to it.
All right. Well, so
why it was so natural for me.
Let's start right at the top.
Okay.
With the iPad Air 2.
No, let's start right at the top. I wonder if the transmission quality of the Apple event was better this time. I had problems, and I saw in the Twitterverse and other places that other people were getting parts of it and not getting other parts. I don't know if it was
it wasn't
everywhere.
It wasn't the epic fail that it was last.
That's what I was asking. It wasn't as bad as last time? Because for me it was, but I think I'm going to blame Time Warner for more of that than Apple.
You mean something a problem on your end?
Yeah, I've got it. I had network issues today. I'm still having them.
I fortunately got, I had the audio drop out once, and I didn't start off with video, but that was only for 30 seconds, and after that it was pretty solid for me.
Well, I got most of it played on one of the three devices that were trying to connect the whole time, so I got the gist of it.
Well, maybe that was your problem.
Well,
Maybe you had three devices all trying to get the same stream.
I have 100 megabit downstream. It's I should be able to stream Avatar in HD and still have three devices.
It's true. It's totally true. All right. So you didn't get to see all that much of it, but I do know that you were following along and reading up everything you could.
Yes, and the press releases, it's kind of funny the way Apple does that, but they were arriving as the segment ended in the live presentation.
Mm.
So it's like they got done with the first thing. What was the first thing they did? I can actually tell you by looking at the order the press releases arrived.
It was, I want to say it was the iPad Air. But it may have been...
I think it was Yosemite.
iOS and Yosemite.
Let's see. I think it was Yosemite.
iOS 8 and Yosemite.
I got the Yosemite one at 12:40, and then the iPad Air at 105, Apple Pay at 107, you know? Yeah.
So we didn't really see a whole lot new with Yosemite?
No, and I couldn't get it. I actually was in the App Store 5 minutes before we started, and it wasn't there.
Correct. I didn't find it yet either.
They did say today that this is the day. I mean,
yeah,
people won't be listening.
Now.
Yeah, they didn't say what time today. Okay.
Yeah. So Yosemite is going to come out today. We didn't get a whole lot new from that. iOS 8.1 is going to be released on Monday. They're staggering that a little bit.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a bandwidth, you know, I think doing both at once would be suicidal.
Well,
it's asking for something bad to happen.
And Apple had enough trouble with just iOS 8.
Yeah, I think.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, Bob, is they touted that, you know, 1 month into iOS 8, that 48% of users had upgraded. But the reality is that while that crushes anything Android has ever been able to do, it's actually, it lags behind
iOS 7,
when I think we were at 70 or 80% by this point.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's a direct consequence of the problems that Apple had with iOS 8.01.
Well, certainly having an update that cuts off your phone service, even though it was only available for a few hours, you know, certainly the story getting around makes people leery of updating some more.
Yeah, and with that in mind, maybe hitting 48% is quite the achievement. But it's actually been stalled at 48% for about 10 days.
Well, I wonder if it's because the people only respond to the latest news they've heard. So they haven't heard that 8.0.2 came out and it's good, or that 8.1 was going to come out Monday. Now, they'll hear about that, and maybe they'll choose, and maybe the 8.1 adoption rate will be higher.
I think that...
Because I've already forgiven them for the 8.0.1 snafu.
Yes, yeah, likewise.
Because I didn't download it, you know.
But I think a lot of people were just being...
snitty?
Cautious.
Well, I think... You know, it's unfortunate, and you have to say to yourself, you know, where's the quality control when you put something out and it disables devices? But in their defense, they had it pulled down, you know, within minutes. I never even saw it. I never saw an alert that there was another update or anything. So at least they were on the ball and, you know, reacting to it and getting it fixed.
Yeah.
But...
And still, again, you know, just to go ahead and take a pot shot at Android, 54% of Android users who visit Google Play, which is actually a subset of Android users, I always like to point that out, a small subset of Android users, but 54% of them are using KitKat, which is, I think, 2 years old.
I bet those people still use Internet Explorer too.
Well, no, maybe, yeah, maybe. Or Chrome. They're probably using Chrome, but that's beside the point. All right, so we got Yosemite coming out later today. We don't have it yet. We didn't see a whole lot new to it. They didn't really dwell on Yosemite all that much. We got kind of a walkthrough, but again, I didn't see much that was new.
No, it was the same handoff and what do they call it?
Yeah, all the stuff that was introduced at WWDC back in June.
Yes. that we knew was coming. I mean, there were no surprises. Right.
Right.
No surprises.
Right. And then Apple Pay launches tomorrow, right?
Didn't they say the 20th? I think if it's the 20th, that's Monday because it's my anniversary.
Maybe it's Monday. Now, folks, I know that I'm supposed to know these things.
Hold on.
You know.
I got all the press releases right in front of me. Apple Pay starting Monday, the 20th.
Yeah.
That's my anniversary present from Apple, and it was very nice of them to do that.
Yes.
To time the launch with my anniversary.
Yes, it was. So, again, we didn't see much new there. Now, they did say, so they had all the 14 top banks, which are represent almost all the banking in the U.S. Those were already signed up to Apple Pay. But Apple did announce that there were 500 more banks. So the next tier and probably the next tier and the next tier below that of banks also signed up. So Apple has most of the vast majority of credit card issuers
are in the game.
They're in the Apple Pay game. Some of them.
So they must not have talked to the guys in the music industry.
No, they must not. Apple will be rolling it. Some of those banks will be rolling it out in the upcoming weeks, but they've all signed on. And Apple has also signed on a bunch of new retailers. Of course, that's still a pretty small subset of total retail outlets.
This is going to be a several year long adoption process. It's not going to happen all on the 20th, but I think it's pretty impressive that you'll be able to go to places like Walgreens and use it starting Monday.
Yeah,
if you've got the right credit card and you've set it up.
Yeah, you do have to set it up, of course. And then we have WatchKit. WatchKit SDK will be coming in November. That's the first announcement we've got on that.
Yes, and that was a big question at the other Apple event was, will there be third-party apps? Will there be third-party access to this stuff? So,
and apparently the answer is yes. And I would say that this also means, because Apple could have announced this in November, back in September, a month ago. They could have said the SDK will be coming in November,
right.
But there was just no mention of it. Right? So knowing...
There's a strategic reason for it, because I don't believe Apple does anything without thinking it through from every angle. So,
and I think that strategic reason is that they wanted to be sure that they had the software, the operating system that's running on this thing, at a certain point.
Right.
And that they weren't convinced that they could do that.
Well, and now, there's something else, too. When they do this, that means that they've got to have development kits available so that there's going to be watches in the wild starting in November. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be that program is going to be
couldn't it be initially just all done through emulation on your Mac?
I suppose you can start development, but I would imagine any of the major players are going to be saying to Apple, mm-hmm. we need a device.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're talking to General Motors or, IBM, I saw IBM was big in the presentation today. They really love programming in Swift.
Yeah.
So, whoever. Whoever.
Yeah, that is a good point. Definitely shows that Apple's making progress on this thing. And Tim
getting traction.
And traction both. Tim iterated that Apple Watch was coming in early 2015. So having repeated that is a significant assurance that Apple is on track.
First quarter. Yes. I think we might see it in January even.
Maybe. I'm not going to make a bet on that. I'm not going to hold my breath.
No, and I think February is better because January, you're still recovering from returning all the stuff you got for Christmas. So February or March. But by March for sure, though, because that's early. After March, it's not early 2015 right. anymore.
Right. That's true. Yeah, after March, it's not
current. I know what I want for my birthday.
When's your birthday?
In April. So there'll be iWatches available. Apple Watches, sorry. I was waiting for Tim to do that today.
I can't not do it.
I'm pretty sure they drilled it into him during rehearsals. They set up one of those dog collar things with electric shock. Every time he did it, he got shocked, and so he stopped.
No
doubt. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
No doubt. All right, so let's.
I hope Tim knows that.
We've got the new iPads, iPad Air 2 and iPad Mini 3, both of which were leaked yesterday in an Apple user guide.
Yes. Well, not in a user guide. They were in screen. Well, I don't know. Did anybody actually get the whole user guide? I think only the screenshots in the bookstore, because I didn't see anything more than that anywhere I looked.
The book had been pulled.
But when? The screenshots remained, and they were revealing because they had both of the new iPad names in them.
Yeah, along with the Touch ID and
right.
Some stuff on the camera on the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was all over that. I thought, ooh, I want to download that before it comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm writing a book about the iPad, so it would have been helpful to have those things a day early. Well, I've got to go through the whole manuscript and you know, make sure that these things are included and covered and, you know, anything different. Got to go back and, you know, mention Touch ID where you can use it. So knowing these things actually gave me a little bit of a head start on, you know, the next round of revisions for my book.
Sure.
But I thought if I could get that 8.1 user guide today instead of maybe tomorrow. It's not up yet.
Yeah, it's still not up.
And it may not go up till Monday if they said that that's when iOS 8.1 comes out.
Now, speaking of leaks, did you catch the bit with Stephen Colbert?
Yes, I didn't catch all of it. I lost my feed in the middle, but I got like the beginning and the end of it. And
it
I thought it was pretty funny, and I thought, I don't know about the scripted stuff, though.
Craig Federighi is not the best actor. That said, he's better than any actor for Microsoft. So
yeah, it's true. And it was, the parts I saw were funny. And I love Stephen Colbert, and he's great. His delivery is great.
Yeah. It was very funny, and I also very much appreciated. There was a lot of humble, self-effacing,
self-deprecating humor.
Yeah.
Yep. So I thought so too. They acknowledged a lot of their faults or weaknesses or issues lately.
Like when Tim came back and said that he hoped that Stephen Colbert, he was happy to have Stephen on board at Apple.
Right.
As the supreme commander
of all secrecy. Right.
Right, and he hoped that Stephen could do a better job of controlling these leaks than I have, is what Tim said.
Yeah. Yes.
And I just thought that was
It is funny. It is funny, and that, I think, shows, it puts a good human face on him. I can't see Microsoft, you know, coming out and going, hey, the Zune sucked.
Did you see the badge video? This is not an Eric Clapton joke.
Oh, no. Was it part of the presentation?
Yes. It was a very short thing. Craig Federighi said he was demonstrating handoff and continuity. And so he got a text message from Phil Schiller saying, check out this video for our, you know, demonstrating our new excellence in badge security. And a guy walks up, and I haven't had the chance to double check this. I think it was Justin Timberlake.
Probably.
I'm not 100% sure. It was either Justin Timberlake or it was a hipster. But someone walks up. There's a guy.
You can't tell them apart.
A security guard standing there in front of a door, and they start doing this handshake routine. Where, you know, just all these funky modern handshakes, including this thing with both her legs going back and forth. It was incredibly well choreographed. That's actually why I think it was Justin Timberlake. And then in one smooth move, again, Justin Timberlake, he at the end of it, once he's done, he touches his badge to the you know, device on the wall, and he's allowed to go in. So, you know, the badge technology was a secret handshake. Then Eddie Q walks up. And Eddie Q starts doing the handshake, but then he fumbles it, and he, like, clumsily reaches for the other guy's leg, and the guy just, like shoves him off and tells him he can't come in. It was funny.
Well, I'll have to go back. Yeah, I hope they post the whole thing, because I would like to watch and actually hear the whole jokes with the punchlines.
Yeah, I'm actually looking right now to see if they have posted that on YouTube. Because I want to see. I mean, I'm not sure that they will post that one, because it's a joke. It's not. They're not talking about products. It's a security joke.
No, I don't think they'll post it separately, but I think they might post the video of the whole event.
That actually is already up.
Then it's in there, isn't it?
Yes.
So you just have to, you know.
Yeah.
You know how to use fast forward.
I do.
I taught you that.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You taught me everything I know.
About fast forward.
Yeah. The iPad Air 2 reveal video and the iMac with Retina 5K display video. We haven't even gotten to that yet, but that is up on YouTube, but the security joke is not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So anyway, this iPad Air 2, thinner. They actually they said that if you stack two of them up, it's still thinner than the original iPad.
I saw that. They had a graphic of it.
They and didn't it's hard make to a believe joke about that, bending it.
It's hard to believe that the first one was that thick when you looked at them side by side. You looked at it and went, wow, was it really that thick?
Well, I'm actually thinking that it's hard to believe that they've made it that thin.
Yes, it's hard to believe they made it that thin. Have you bent one yet?
I haven't bent one yet, and nor did they make a joke. That's one thing they did not joke about.
Yeah, like one of my friends said, you know, since when is it news that consumer electronics products are fragile?
You know what? I do think this was news. People may have been overreacting to it, but knowing that you can bend this thing is important.
Knowing that you can bend this thing with, as Kelly put it, sufficient force to break any bone in the human body by a factor of 5x. The guy was putting on 90, 100. I mean, they tested it, and the pressure it takes to bend it is enough to break any bone in your body easily.
People are getting these things. I mean, I don't want to go off in too much of a derail, but there were people who were getting slight. Yeah, okay.
It's
the people who were demonstrating it with their hands were absolutely losing a lot of force, and they were bending it a lot more than the ones in the wild were getting bent. But that does not detract from the fact that some people...
They do bend a little. If you put it in your back pocket, that's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. I guess it is kind of good that's out there now.
Yeah, exactly. I think people made it too big of a deal about it, but I think that the news itself was a legitimate topic for discussion. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And a good reason to choose AppleCare.
Yes, that's for sure. All right, so the iPad Air 2 has got Touch ID, you know, duh, we knew that was coming. It's got it's basically got the same camera that's on the back of the iPhone 6.
But not the 6 Plus.
But not the 6 Plus, right. It does burst mode, it does, you know, slow-mo and time.
I have a question. Do you think people who stand around holding a 10-inch tablet in front of their face while they shoot video or photos look dorky? I mean, I've done it, but I feel pretty dorky every time. In fact, yeah, I feel dorky with the iPhone 6 Plus. I feel kind of dorky.
I do think that people look a little dorky doing that, but I think that that's only now. And that as more and more people do it, we will forget that we ever thought anyone looked dorky. Same thing with holding a phablet up to your face.
Like, yeah,
everybody looked ridiculous doing it at first, but now we don't even think about it. I mean, it's just a little bit of change. It's just, I think that as a photographer, a wannabe photographer at least, it bugs me when I or anyone else holds up a digital camera or a smartphone and is looking at the screen while they're taking the shot instead of holding the viewfinder up to their eye. Of course, you know, smartphones don't have viewfinders. But that is the reality of how people use these devices.
That's true. That's true.
And you know, I think it's just a little bit of change. It's a great question. It's an interesting philosophical question. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we can get that another time.
We're going to run out of time, and we've got a lot of topics.
We do still have a lot of topics. So then there's the iPad Mini 3. That device got hardly any mention during the event. It's basically, you know, better, faster, stronger.
Yeah, it really, I couldn't believe how fast they went through that and then were on to the next thing. It was like, wait, did they just announce another iPad? Really? And they were off to the races.
And they're keeping iPad Mini and iPad Mini 2, which is officially now iPad Mini 2. They're keeping those on the market at $249 and $299.
Well, I think that's a smart play. They've, you know, had they've had them in production long enough to get that cost rock bottom down, mm-hmm. and now there's an option for the budget-minded. I think it's always good to have options. Yeah, I think it's good to have options. Yeah, I have the first generation iPad Mini, and I'm still plenty happy with it. I mean, I'll replace it one of these days, I think. But after I got the iPhone 6 Plus, replacing it became a lot less. Important for me. You know, it dropped off my radar, actually. Yes.
That's what I'm, the six.
I'm sending the 6 back tomorrow. It's packed up already. I tested it, and I made my decision. Bigger is better, as far as I'm concerned. Well, you read my article. It was on Mac Observer. In fact, it was a two-parter. You edited my article. Two-part series. Because it took a lot of thought.
So, I don't think that Apple's going to light the world on fire with a new device, but it's definitely an improvement. The new processor, it's using the A8X as opposed to the A7X or A7. What was in the iPad Air?
Oh, hell if I know.
I can't remember. But in the iPhone 6 is the A8. So this is a different processor designed just for the iPad that's all that much more powerful than the A8.
What kind of special sauce does it have?
More, bigger, better, faster.
Huh, okay.
New graphics. I think that's actually probably the biggest thing about it is that it's got an ever-improved graphic capability. It's probably a little bit more efficient, too. Because you know the iPad Air 2 is 6.1 millimeters thick or thin, as Apple said it, which is pretty amazing. The A8X is 40% faster than the A7, which was what was in the previous iPad Air, and the GPU supposedly, according to Apple, offers 2.5 times the performance from the A7.
Cool.
Yeah, and one of the things that Phil Schiller said. During, because he was the one that was presenting the hardware, he said that game makers are bringing their console level engines to the iPad with the iPad Air 2. He didn't name any names,
but I think they're already pretty close. I think they're already pretty close. If you've looked at any of the car racing games lately, like Asphalt and Real Racing 3, mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing what they do. The frame rate and detail and, you know, just the fact that that's running on a handheld device amazes me.
Yeah, it is amazing.
And so, you know, knowing that they've now got metal and they've now got faster graphics processors, I can't wait to see the next generation car racing games.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like being there.
Yeah, for sure. And so it starts at $499. It's available for pre-order tomorrow. Ships on the 24th, which is next Friday. So $499, $599, $699. And now Apple did the same, what I think is distasteful decision to start with 16 gigs. So 16, 64, and 128.
I think 16 is a disservice to the user.
I think
and
so
you
too.
Can't upgrade it. You know, the problem isn't that 16 is so awful. It's that they won't know it until it's too late.
Yeah, well,
you know, it's like by the time you know that you need more than 16, you've already bought it and filled it up, and you can't really go back.
You know, my buying advice is this. Buy the highest capacity model on the market when you buy. For this reason and this reason only, when you go to sell it,
it'll be worth more. Absolutely.
The delta, the there is a significant delta between the smaller capacity models
and the bigger ones. Yeah, absolutely. And for people like you or me or any of the people we know and hang out with, we upgrade as soon as the new one comes out, and we sell the old ones off and, you know, cough up out of our pocket. So having the one that's going to have the highest resale value is a good idea. I also, when people say, which should I get, I always say, well, you know, if you want to fill it up with music and video and stuff like that, then get the biggest one they sell. If you want to, you know, tinker around and be a little geeky, and store all your media in the cloud somehow or somewhere, you know, there's lots of ways to do that.
It's just a browsing device. I can see, okay.
But 16 is too small, and, you know, there's a lot of apps that will fill that up. Five apps and you're full.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
Yeah,
not to mention you can't even
hold.
But there are a lot of apps that are a gigabyte.
Right.
So, yeah, a few apps and a couple of, and one copy of Avatar, and you're done.
And you're done, yeah.
Well, Avatar's a long movie.
Plus, what is more than enough space for you today will not be, will be adequate a year or two from now. Or three years.
Finally, remember that when iOS 8 came out, a lot of people couldn't upgrade because they didn't have 5.1 gigabytes of free space on their iOS device.
Right.
And a lot of those people didn't realize that if you just went and did it in iTunes, it didn't matter. You didn't need that 5 gigabytes.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I know that we're blithely just saying, oh, go ahead and spend an extra $200. Not everybody can do that.
No, I know, and I always say buy as much capacity as you can afford, but don't buy the 16. You'll be sorry if you get the 16. You know, if you can only afford a 32, hey, you're going to learn how to keep media in the cloud.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and I think that Apple needs to be dinged on this. I think that the iPhone 6 being starting off at 16 gigs was just as equally a disservice, but the
iPad
is more of a disservice.
I don't know the use case, and I have to think, okay, wait a minute, what about the person that only has one app, doesn't really listen to music, and has podcasts? So they're okay with a 16 and they saved $100. So I'm not saying there isn't somebody that might be a good candidate because of their budget for that, and they wouldn't get an iPhone otherwise, and that would be a shame. I'd rather see someone get a 16-gig iPhone or iPad than get an Android.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. My philosophy.
Fair enough.
That's how I see it. That's how I roll.
Speaking of rolling, you roll on Twitter, don't you?
I do. My Twitter handle is @Levitas.
What kind of things do you tweet about?
I pimp my writing at the Mac Observer mostly.
You know,
and I also post an occasional picture or video from a musical event, and sometimes I will comment on products in a tweet.
Yeah,
and I always pimp my personal appearances. If I'm going to be at a user group or anything like that, I'll give you some notice on the tweets.
And
do you tweet?
Do you tweet? I do, Bob. Thank you for asking. I'm at TM O'Brien. It's Brian with a Y. And I tend to offer the occasional political comment that'll usually be guaranteed to lose me a couple of followers. And
if it didn't, you didn't do it right.
Exactly. But most of my tweeting is about Apple stuff and TMO stuff and my writing and music and social stuff. All of my tweeting goes under the same account.
Yeah, me too. My personal and my business are the same because they're really so interrelated. Everybody I know is interested in Apple technology, so I don't have a personal Twitter.
No.
Everything goes in one place.
Twitter. It's just also my business Twitter.
Yeah, I have one for both.
The tweety tweet. All right. Now, the most exciting thing to me was this absurd 5K display. I say absurd in a fantastic way. The only thing that upsets me about this thing is that they don't have a standalone 5K display yet. a cinema display, and they need that for the Mac Pro. It's actually
well, the Mac ridiculous. Pro people are buying 4K displays from other vendors for big money, and Apple's missing the boat. But you know what? I think that they have been in the glass panel business, and they don't like it.
Well, they for some reason, they still sell the Thunderbolt display.
One display that's got USB 2 ports. No, does it have USB 3 ports now?
I don't.
I think it might have gotten them finally.
It's never had enough ports.
Yeah, it's just, and it's $999, and I bought a monoprice 27-inch display that's got the same piece of glass in it for $469.
Yeah.
Now it's not fancy, and it doesn't have a hub. But really, do I care? No, I have a great 27-inch piece of glass for under $500.
But 4K, obviously, well, I mean, good Lord, Apple's doing this 5K. So it's 5120 by 2880. That is seven times the resolution of an HD television. And it's 67% more pixels than a 4K television or a 4K display.
Do you work on a Retina machine already? Is one of your machines a Retina?
Only my iPad and iPhone.
Okay, so my new MacBook Pro is a Retina.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up to 28 something by, oh my God. It goes so fine detail that I can't read it. And I guess the top level is 2880 by 1800.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular for, it's 15 inches though. But I mean, it's spectacular for looking at photos and stuff, for editing anything that is in high definition already, like a high resolution photo,
right,
or HD video. I love it.
This is
but it makes the interface elements for most apps very small, and it makes your folders and stuff.
Yeah, I think you have to
tweak all your settings to use a Retina display as a Retina display. That's what I found.
Apple has been a little bit slow whipping developers into shape on supporting the Retina displays.
In fact,
Apple does not use Retina images for its own screenshots on the web version of app and book entries. Like
you'd have to downsample them because they're going to be huge. You know what? I've been doing for iPad for Dummies. I've been shooting on the first generation iPad Mini because the files are smaller and they're going to look the same when they're printed in a book on a color printing press.
Mm-hmm.
But it means I'm transmitting half as many K across the modem and they open twice as fast, et cetera, et cetera.
So this iMac with this display is the first one the first iMac I've lusted after. I've been using Mac Pro for a couple of decades now.
Do you have a new Mac Pro?
No, I don't.
Do you have a new trash basket Mac Pro?
I don't, and I want one.
I wanted one, but you know what? I bought a MacBook Pro instead, and I'm glad. Because I wanted more than I wanted a Mac Pro. I wanted to only have one main computer and not have to worry about whether my laptop had all the files I needed before I ran out the door.
You know, I tell you what, Bob. For me, because I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. For me, though, anything that I need in more than one place, I stick on Dropbox, and it's a non-issue.
Me too. But for things like editing video, I've got a current project on my SSD. I can edit video at 30,000 feet in headphones.
Yeah, that's true. No, the Mac Pro is a dynamic device.
It was a matter of I really would like to have one because it crunches video faster than my machine. But my machine in 3 minutes can come out the door with me.
Right. So first iMac I wanted is this one.
I want one too.
And, it's because of this display.
I want one too.
It is darn good looking.
I need to have three Macs now because I also want one of those trash cans.
You can juggle them.
I went from, I'm so happy to only have one Mac to, oh my gosh, I'm lusting for three Macs again.
It, like in the space of a text message. You flipped like that. All right. So the Mac Mini was also updated, and it's kind of like two steps forward and one step back, which is kind of lame for the fact that it's been 2 years since that thing was updated.
Yeah.
So it's they took out the quad processor option for one thing. Right? They dropped the price. That's good. So they dropped the price
to $499
down to $499, which is still, you know, like far more expensive than the vast majority of PCs, but whatever. But for $499, you're getting a 1.4 gigahertz dual core i5.
And no upgrade option to a
And only a half a terabyte for a hard drive. But you are getting a 802.11ac Wi-Fi, so that's faster. And you're getting two Thunderbolt 2.
So, yeah, you can hang ports. Anything you want off it. Huh? I guess that's some progress.
$200 more will get you 2.6 gigahertz. So now we're at, $699, $700. With 8 gigs of RAM. And then for $1,000, you can get a dual-core 2.8 gigahertz Core i5. The Core i7 option is gone. So it's two steps forward and three steps back. $1,000 for a Mac Mini to me is...
That's a lot.
I certainly would not recommend anyone.
The only reason I can see is for people who want a media server, a headless media server like that, because I think the specs are probably fine for serving media. Hang a big hard disk off
it. You don't need the $1,000 version to do that.
Probably not.
Surely you.
Well, if you're running a Plex server, you do.
Cheap one. So the quad core option gone, the i7 option gone, 8 gigs of memory. For $1,000, you're getting 8 gigs of memory. You're getting the Intel Iris graphics, which are actually pretty good.
Is the eight gig of memory upgradable?
Don't.
That would be good to know because eight is probably
it's not enough.
For most people,
it's just not
for
enough.
Most people.
It's not enough.
I think all of the MacBook Pros are now 16. Somebody told me that, and I think it's true.
Yeah, 16.
It's the minimum.
I don't know.
It's
the functional minimum right now. The 16 is in fact the functional minimum.
Well,
I get page outs.
I have 16, and I get page outs, but I generally have 15 things open because I use the same stuff all day and all every day. So nothing gets closed unless it crashes or I quit it.
I've got 18 and I get page outs.
Yeah, I'll get page outs occasionally, but I, have everything still open. If I go close a few things, I can make them go away usually.
But I think for $1,000, you should get more than
that. Yeah, you should. You should get 16.
You should get 16,
like
yeah.
all the other Macs.
Yeah, and for $1,000, you should be getting quad core.
It seems almost like they priced it to... push you into buying a more expensive Mac.
Yeah.
Between the features and the pricing, it's pretty hard to justify. It's like, oh, you know what? For a couple hundred bucks more, I can get a iMac or a MacBook Air. They start at what, $899?
The Air starts at $899,
So you're not jumping very far. And you'll sure have a lot more fun with an Air. And the Air is way more fun at parties and impresses girls a lot more than the Mac Mini.
I love my Air.
Yeah.
My Air is is it 3 years old now? It's 3 years old now. And I love it.
One of these days, I have to have four Macs.
This podcast is costing me entirely too much. I got a Pro for my desk, and I've got a MacBook Air for being mobile, and that is heaven for me.
I have a MacBook Pro. I have two MacBook Pros, and the second is a screenshot server for when I'm writing a book about another operating system, and I put my iTunes library over there. So that can have all the all the network hits while my machine is pristine and calm. But now I want another machine. Now I want an Air. Because I don't disconnect my MacBook Pro as often as I would a MacBook Air, you know, if I had one. In fact, it rarely leaves my desk. If I'm going out somewhere that I need a computer, I take it with me. But I don't take it off my desk to use around the house.
Right.
But then that's what my iPads are for.
Right. All right. So we've got this here media event. In hindsight, it's pretty obvious why they held this at the town hall. Was definitely not a
this
was not a home run event. I mean, everything is solid. The iPad Air 2 is pretty amazing looking. The iMac 5K display is just astounding to me, especially at $24.99.
Yes, that's amazing. Considering that 4K displays are going for more than that. I mean, there's some that are less, but there's some that are more.
Yeah.
Just the display.
5K display.
Right. And yeah. This is the whole computer and a 5K display.
Phil Schiller equipped, we're throwing in a free computer.
Well, they are.
And it's
they
a Mac.
Are. Does
it's
it have an HDMI that, yeah. port?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? It's not a big enough screen, but... I mean, it certainly could handle anything you could throw at it through an HDMI port.
And then some, yeah. And then some. So, I don't know. It was a fine event. It was funny. A little self-effacing. We got some good updates. The products themselves are solid updates. I meant good updates on, like, you know, knowing when Apple Pay is going to launch and knowing when Yosemite is going to launch and knowing that the Apple Watch SDK is coming. Those are all important pieces of information. Except for, you know, your technical issues, it went a lot smoother.
Yeah, I heard, you know, everybody enjoyed the show, and I enjoyed the parts that came through, but I didn't have a good cohesive viewing experience like you guys.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, I know that you have another podcast to do because you are a popular band, so why don't I take us out?
Take us out to the ball game. All right, go ahead. It's your line, according to the script I have.
Yeah, remember, I told you it was going to be pause.
Oh, that was it? I thought it was after this. Okay.
Yeah, so for our listeners, we're going to do this one more time. I'm going to take us out. That's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com, and thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. And that's all for this week.
Stay subscribed.
We'll see you in the online... We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Wait, why does it say at the Mac Observer? Doesn't it? We'll see you online at macobserver.com. I changed the copy.
Okay, that'll work. And thanks for being here.
Thanks
today.
For having me.